Hey, yo, yo, yo. You listen to the Half Right Podcast.
And we're back with another episode of the Half Right Podcast. I hope you all are doing well wherever you are tuning in. I am one third of the host here at the Half Right Podcast, Lakia Maria. My other co-hosts, Fonz and Max, are off watching football somewhere. It's halftime where I'm watching, but I wanted to come and give you guys the weekly recap of the week. It's something new that we're adding to our mix in addition to our prediction shows so we can bring you content more consistently. So, what the hell has been happening with Raw and SmackDown this week? Well, starting off with Raw, we had Riddle versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest. You know, the Judgment Day, ever since they picked up steam by acquiring Dominic, who went heel at Clash at the Castle, I could see things turning more in their favor. That faction, when they exposed Edge and kicked his ass out, it was kind of like, where are they going? But they did a little reshaping, a little shifting there. And having Dominic as a heel is going to completely change his career. But having him working with people that are seasoned, such as Finn Balor and Damian Priest, is just going to add another skill set for him. So Riddle's still trying to fight Seth. Seth is like, nah, I'm good. Seth loves calling Riddle a bitch. He's, you know, curb stomped him again and said, stay down. He ended up fighting Finn Balor, who was accompanied by Damian Priest. Finn Balor won that match. Dominic Mysterio ended up fighting Edge, and they ended up taking Edge out. We all know that Edge is on like a part-time type of schedule, so he's not going to be on Raw every single week. He comes out for the big show. So with the way that they just wrote him off with this chair type of injury, they jumped that, smacked him with the chair on his leg. I can see him coming back probably sometime around Survivor Series. If he doesn't come back for Survivor Series, definitely the Royal Rumble. The highlight for me, we had Chad Gable versus Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano came back to the ring. Johnny Gargano, no surprises, in-ring return. He won that one. And then Bianca Belair fought Sonya Deville in a Raw Women's Championship Open Challenge. It's only a matter of time before she goes up against Bayley. That is definitely going to come, which, of course, is kind of going back to when Bayley was going against Bianca, that feud they had before her injury that put her on the shelf. There was a 2-on-1 handicap match with Omos versus Cash Morosi and Ryan Toombs, one of those squash matches. But now that Braun Strowman is back, it'll be interesting to see if he runs into Omos. And then the title change of the night was Damage Control, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai. That's a tongue twister. Those two have won the women's tag team titles. I'm still holding out hope that my girls, Sasha and Naomi, are going to come back. But that's what happened on the Raw front. That was the biggest thing that happened. Now we got to jump over to NXT. Okay, so NXT 2.0, they were celebrating their one-year anniversary. And the biggest highlight of that, well, there's two highlights from NXT that I would say. And the first one would be Solo Sikoa winning the North American Championship. He is officially a part of the Bloodline. So keep that in mind as we move on to the SmackDown recap. And then also there was a little blurb at the end of a little package plugged at the end of the show. And the NXT 2.0 logo morphed into an updated black and gold version. So it's going to be interesting to see just how things, now that Triple H is fully in control of all creative. We mentioned in the last episode, he is the chief content officer. So everything as far as content, creative, talent relations, he's the head honcho. So if anyone had any questions about that, it is Triple H. He's the guy. So going back to the black and gold is something that is familiar to a lot of people that came up watching NXT when you still had Kevin Owens over there, Sami Zayn when he was over there, going into the new regime of NXT with Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, with the likes of those guys, Finn Balor, of course, Bayley, of course, Sasha Banks, Charlotte. They were a part of like that vintage NXT, and going back to the black and gold is where a lot of people started to become fans of the brand. Now, Triple H did say in an interview with BT Sport that NXT is more of a developmental brand. And yeah, so sort of, kind of, but I think NXT had got to a point where it was so popular that it became a third brand of itself. Being that AEW did beat out NXT in the rankings, you are going to kind of downplay that from a business standpoint to say, well, you didn't beat the big shows. You beat our developmental. It was meant to be a developmental, but the developmental gained steam. It gained popularity. So much talent coming out of there. So being that it has shifted, the official social media pages haven't changed the logos of NXT 2.0. I don't know if it's going to be called NXT 2.0 going forward, but the logo, the updated logo that reverted back to the black and gold color scheme, did not have 2.0 on it. So what a year it has been of Vince coming in and taking over something. There's still some amazing talent happening in the ring. There's a lot of factions going on in NXT 2.0. A lot of cool things happening over there. Mandy Rose is the women's champ. Bron Breakker is the men's champ. Solo Sikoa, as I mentioned, just took the championship off of... I completely forgot who he took the title off of. It'll come to me later. And then the tag team champions, I believe, are like pretty deadly. So it's a lot of things happening over there. They have some new talent coming in. Some people that just aren't taking off for me. Some people that have left that we're expecting to come onto the main roster. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I won't linger too much more on NXT as I'm gathering my thoughts with that one. Now jumping over to SmackDown, Logan Paul. We're going to get to more on Logan Paul. Logan Paul came out. And he's like, yeah, you know, he had an interview with the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. And of course, this all sets it up for a title match that's going to be happening with them at Crown Jewel. Bayley fought Raquel Rodriguez, who's coming out for vengeance, you know, after the whole thing with her partner, Aaliyah, getting injured. With Aaliyah and Raquel as a tag team, I don't want to downplay her skills, but putting her with someone like Raquel, who's such a powerhouse, I don't even know if Raquel needs to be in a tag team. She's definitely someone that can be a singles competitor with her strength and use that and play that to her advantage. That's an attribute for her. But Shotzi is definitely back to being a face. She's no longer a heel. She's no longer angry. When she first came to the roster, when they moved her up, they took away the Blackheart, Shotzi Blackheart. So I'm fine with her name just being Shotzi. That's cool. That's fine. But it'll be interesting with her being a face. And if they're going to put her in the tag team with Raquel, since Aaliyah is apparently injured. So that's the match that happened there. Bayley defeats Raquel. But of course, she had interference from the new women's champion, tag team champion. Drew McIntyre responds to Karrion Kross. That's probably going to be a match that we see at either Extreme Rules or Crown Jewel. Liv Morgan apparently wants to go against Ronda Rousey in a an Extreme Rules match. Yeah, I don't know about that one. And then Madcap Moss was in a match with Solo Sikoa as he defended the North American Championship. Now, it's going to be interesting to see, since the Bloodline is primarily on SmackDown, it's going to be interesting to see if Solo Sikoa is going to continue to defend the title on both SmackDown and NXT, or if he's going to just segue that back to NXT and they just gave him a title to give him a title. But I don't see him taking the title clean off of Gunther or Bobby Lashley, who are the respective Intercontinental and U.S. Championships. So giving him the title that he's been going for in NXT anyway, like that mid-card type of title, because he didn't need to go and take the NXT Championship from Bron Breakker either. So giving him that mid-card type of title is like the equivalent on the main roster level to the Intercontinental and USA, to the U.S. Championship. So he'll probably be defending them on both. And then the main event was Ridge Holland and Butch versus New Day, Hit Row, and Imperium for a title shot against the tag team champs, the Usos. And Ridge Holland and Butch won. And I think that's going to be an interesting match. I don't think Hit Row needed to win. Imperium, New Day, I don't need to see New Day versus Usos anymore. So Ridge Holland and Butch is like a fresh face in the men's tag team division. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, wrapping all of this up, I don't want to hold y'all time entirely too much. Wrapping all of this up, Logan Paul and Roman Reigns had a press conference. Okay, they're really hyping up this crown jewel. It's a lot of pay-per-views. I wouldn't say a lot of pay-per-views, but I don't know what's happening in December. Is there a December pay-per-view? Let me look that up. December WWE pay-per-view. Because we all know January is the Royal Rumble, but there's two pay-per-views that are happening in... Okay. So we have a little something. Okay. So the rest of the pay-per-views for this year, on October 8th, there's going to be Extreme Rules, followed by November 5th being Crown Jewel, and then November 26th being the last pay-per-view of the year, the final of the Big Four, Survivor Series. Then jumping into 2023, the ones that have been confirmed so far, there is going to be another Day One pay-per-view. Royal Rumble is going to be January 28th. And then WrestleMania 39, as we know, is going to be at SoFi Stadium April 1st and April 2nd. So they have that pretty much mapped out. So December, we're not getting any pay-per-views, but we are getting two in January. So going back to the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, we know for a fact that we are going to be getting Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul. And I know that there's a lot of hype around this one. Logan Paul coming with over 30 million followers and bringing his audience to WWE. WWE, if they're going to do nothing else, they're going to take advantage of an opportunity. Okay? Logan Paul has a younger audience. He has people that have been following him for years. People that may have watched WWE at one point in time have fallen out of love with it. So it'll be interesting to see how he continues to evolve as a talent for WWE, but his audience alone is a great acquisition for WWE. So I can see why the partnership is there. Him going against Roman Reigns. Logan has had how many matches in WWE so far? He wrestled at Mania. His matches have been phenomenal. Okay, don't get me wrong. You can tell that he is an athlete. Apparently he wrestled in his younger years before he decided to do the whole YouTube and social media thing. And now him and his brother Jake are doing boxing. He did the Floyd Mayweather match. So one thing about Logan is he's going to go for the head honcho of wherever he is and go for the best of the best, the cream of the crop. For the talent that is there that may feel slighted that he is getting this opportunity, Logan Paul is not a full-time competitor as the rest of them are. You're not going to really see Logan Paul at live shows. You're not going to see him. He's a part-timer. You're going to see him at the big events. And Saudi is a big draw show. I don't know if the Saudi crowd is going to be as turned up as they were for Clash at the Castle. I don't know. Clash at the Castle was a different type of feel. They were super hype all night long. Love that crowd. So I don't know if Saudi is going to be like that. But from years past, Saudi is a huge show. And they are going to bring out the best of the best. They're going to try to bring in those big names, the main attraction, because that's what Saudi wants. So when you have someone that pops up like a Brock Lesnar or a Goldberg, or when they had Undertaker going there, I don't know what legends they're going to get to pop up into this match. I don't know if there's any available. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea. But Saudi does like the legends, so it'll be interesting to see how they pull that in. But the match has been confirmed for Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns. Without a shadow of a doubt, Roman is going to beat Logan Paul. Logan's out here talking about comparing himself and Floyd Mayweather, talking about, you can't put me down, Floyd didn't put me down, I went the distance. Yeah, this is a different type of thing. And he definitely said, you may be the head of the table, but I am the table. So I don't know what he meant. I don't know what he meant by that comment, but that's what we have so far. So as things continue to shape up, we'll be back with weekly updates. And of course, follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod for the most up-to-date and live updates. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to our weekly recap. Again, I'm one third of the host here at the Half Right Podcast, Lakia Maria. Fonda Max will jump back in when they are available. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you. We'll catch up with you in the next one.
Stay tuned to the Half Right Podcast.